Hello and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Kriva, and my friend MJ.
Hello!
So we're on to chapter 36 after the Monkey King and Zhu Baji and Xiao Jing have dealt with the gold and silver horn demons and their entire family and hundreds of other minions, and I don't know why I'm going on with this.
There's a body count is what we're trying to say. There have been casualties. I kind of find it cool that the portable army is in use again. We haven't seen it for a while. It's just proof of Sun Wukong's fucking tank status. so it's kind of cool to see that rolled out again.
Yeah, he's absurd. He's just absurdly powerful.
He's absolutely overpowered.
But anyway, the pilgrims are on the road again, and they've been on the road for 4 or 5 years now. And as they approach another massive mountain, Tripitaka asks out loud, "Why have they not reached their bloody destination yet?"
Wasn't it going to take them like 7 years walking?
In the actual real pilgrimage, it only took like a year for him to get to India.
Okay. I mean, the monster fighting breaks are going to have to take up quite a bit of time.
Yeah, the real Zhuang Zhang didn't have to fight so many monsters.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But yeah, no, so Tripitaka is back on the "Are we there yet?" buzz.
Yeah, Sun Wukong says it's too early. If the journey was crossing the grounds of a large mansion, then they haven't even left the front door yet. And Baji does not like the sound of that.
Of course he doesn't.
But they carry on climbing, and as they head up the mountain, they come across a Buddhist monastery. And Wukong asks Tripitaka what the monastery is, and Tripitaka says, "How the hell is he supposed to know? He's never been here."
Do all monks know each other? I mean, he knows enough to know that they're not to leave his belongings untended.
Wukong says, "You know, you've been a monk since you were a child. Can't you read the giant fucking sign over the door?" I'm obviously adding all the cursing because just whatever.
I appreciate it. I think it adds something to the text.
I'm going for a much more casual register than the original text.
Yeah. Hello to any Americans who have discovered that swearing is punctuation to the Irish. It's a comma, you know.
Yeah.
It's a pause for effect. Sorry, not sorry.
I mark every single episode of this as contains explicit content because, as I understand, like platforms like iTunes and Spotify don't like you cursing constantly without marking that.
It's so American. I'm sorry. get over your little sensitive ears. Do we have any content warnings for this episode, actually?
Just lots of threats, basically.
Okay. Lots of threats.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So anyway, Tripitaka says the sun's in his eyes and the sign's dirty. He can't read it from here, so After all this petty, pointless argument, Wukong grows himself to 20 feet tall in order to reach the sign so he can clean it. And I like the just kind of casual use of magic powers sometimes.
Yeah. Just to remind you that this is a tank.
I really
want him to write, like, "Wash me" on it.
No, he just wipes away the dirt and they can see the name of the monastery is The Precious Grove Monastery, built by Imperial Command.
Okay.
So Tripitaka tells the rest of them to wait outside while he goes in to ask for lodging by himself. The rest of you are too ugly, uncouth, and arrogant. And if you offend them, they may not let us stay the night.
He's got a point.
Yeah, Wukong completely agrees with this.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
So on his way in, Tripitaka passes various works of Buddhist religious art. He first passes two sculptures of Vajra guardians, And he thinks to himself that if there were enough people in China who were devout enough to make things like this, then he wouldn't have to go on this pilgrimage.
The holier than thou attitude now.
Vajra
Okay.
is like a it's more of like a magic symbolical thing than a real weapon. That's like common in Buddhist art.
Well, I mean, if you look at people's magic powers and you kind of wonder why they need the weapons, really, it seems like an accessory at this point. And I have a note here from you that classes these as sort of cherubs.
Yeah, that was one of the notes from Anthony Yu that some translator classed these as cherubs, but also noted that that kind of gives a false impression of a kind of a Western idea because these are like big, fierce warrior kind of things.
I mean, we also have a false impression of what cherubs are.
Yeah.
They can be scary.
Yeah.
But yes, sorry, continue.
I'm always fond of people's going back, kind of reaching back to the classical descriptions of like thrones, especially
Yeah.
the class of angel, not the class of chair, and drawing trying to the literal depictions of them as just like monstrosities of wheels and eyes and wings and
Like
fire.
truly beyond human comprehension. It's just like the do not be afraid was there for a reason.
And he passes four tall pine trees, with the branch the branches and leaves in the shape of umbrellas, which is it's there's just there's tree there are pine trees that grow in that shape. There's a
Yeah.
cup there's a bunch of there's a couple different species of it. I think I don't know what one. There's probably some particular species that's relevant to Buddhism. I don't think the Bodhi tree is one of those types of trees. I should have looked this up.
Yeah.
I'm just rambling. And
I'm
then
just remembering, it's fun. If any listeners are in Dublin, I highly recommend going to St. Patrick's Park and checking out the shape of the topiary there.
okay.
Because they're very well manicured and they're very pretty and also very much look like butt plugs.
Oh right, yes, those kind of bushes, yes.
There's a bush joke there. I can't find it today, I'm sorry, but I went to meet a friend that I hadn't seen in a very long time for coffee and was like, shall we have a promenade through the butt plugs? Yes. So that was a delightful thing that happened to me this week.
Yes. These trees are, I will repeat though, umbrella shaped, quite
Yeah,
different.
yeah. I'm just doing a plug for Fáilte, Ireland, though. It's the tourist, our tourist board. Come to Dublin, we have butt plugs. Yeah.
Visit St. Patrick's Park and visit sexshepa.ie. I think
Yeah.
that's the website. I can't remember. That might not be
It
the right
is.
URL.
It is. Shout out to Shauna Scott.
So anyway, then after that he comes across this image of Guan Yin bringing deliverance to the creatures of the South Sea. So there's crabs, fish, and turtles all around her, receiving teachings. And Tripitaka sighs and he says, even scaly creatures would worship Buddha. Why is it that humans are unwilling to?
Yeah, again, a
Even
lot of I'm not
the turtles are listening to Guan Yin. Why can't the lads back home do it?
a fan of Tripitaka so far in this chapter. I'm sorry. He's the holy Joe thing is also I kind it's kind of interesting to see Guan Yin in a sort of deliverance or almost a sort of nurturing role. That's kind of interesting because
That's
we've
probably
only
more typical of like her
yeah
actual general depiction outside of this novel.
because you're kind of like right now she's reacting to this fuckery and it's just very it's very like patience of a saint or bodhisattva challenged by Sun Wukharin and and his nonsense.
Yeah, it's interesting. But as Tripitaka is talking to himself, a man stumbles across him and he asks him where he's from. And Tripitaka explains the pilgrimage and he asks to stay the night in the monastery. But the man is just a groundskeeper. He can't, you know, promise anything. So he goes to ask the master of the monastery on Tripitaka's behalf. But when the head of the monastery sees Tripitaka, he doesn't want to have anything to do with him. He only wants to receive gentlemen from the city, not mendicants who want a free place to sleep. He doesn't want any of these traveling monks. He says Tripitaka can go squat in the corridor, but he's not getting a room to mess up.
Yeah, and I'm guessing with the mood Tripitaka is in, this is not going down well.
When he gets this relayed back to him, he starts sobbing, actually. And he wonders what he did in a past life to deserve all the shit he's going through.
Mood.
Yeah, which I will remind everyone, and I think this hasn't actually come up in the novel yet, but I love bringing this up. He fell asleep during one of Buddha's lectures. that's what he's being punished for.
What kind of pilgrimage would be suitable for Eamon Ryan? leader of our Green Party who famously fell asleep in a debate about the living wage.
Yeah, I think we did bring this up before.
Did we?
Yeah.
It's just funny.
Yeah. He'd have to go on Greta Thunberg style pilgrimage, like taking a boat, an unpowered boat across the Atlantic.
I like that. Yeah, that seems suitable. He'll have to row it himself. like fuck sailing. We need to make Eamon Ryan row like a fucking curricle or something across the Atlantic.
Yeah. We're starting a new petition.
Yep. So change.org, check it out.
Tripitaka is also worried that if he actually repeats this to Wukong, Wukong is just going to flip his lid and kill the abbot.
Yeah.
So he decides to go to the abbot's chambers himself and ask for bed and board directly. And he repeats his story about being on a pilgrimage for the Tong Emperor. And that does make the abbot sit up. He asks, oh, wait, you're that Tripitaka Tong? He goes, oh, yes. To which he just replies, if you're going on a pilgrimage to the Western Heaven, why don't you know your way? And he's just like, well,
that's a very good point.
He just says, I haven't been here before. This is the second time he's had to point this out this chapter.
Yeah, but I mean, he could be given a map. You know, he's given protection by all these guardian sentinels. Guanyin herself is taking time out of her very busy schedule to check in and make sure everything's going smoothly. I feel like you could have saved a lot of labor hours by just giving the guy a map. And this, again, very much proof that this was written by a civil servant.
So the abbot tells him that there's an inn about 4 or 5 miles to the west here called the 30 Mile Inn. And you can buy food and a room there. Just fuck off. And Tripitaka's like, why won't you take me in? This is a monastery. That's what you're meant to do. I'm a monk. So the abbot explains that a few years ago there was this group of other mendicant monks who stayed there, and they were all barefoot, wearing rags. They were in a miserable state, and he took them in. He let them sleep in the abbot chamber itself. He fed them. He gave them new clothes, and they never left. It's been like 7 or 8 years, and they will not fuck off.
Oh, that'll do it. That'll do. Suddenly, so much more sympathy for this for this guy.
And they've been making absolute shit of the place. They've pulled out window panes to use as firewood. They just kind of like pull nails out of the walls when they're bored. And they just keep stealing everything.
Okay. Again with the theft. I want to be kind of careful here, but again with the theft. Yeah, I don't. I actually, after 7 or 8 years, I think that's kind of on the Abbott.
He just won't. He won't tell them to leave, I guess, but he will refuse anyone else staying. Is, I guess, how the limits of politeness go with this, I guess.
So rather than having one conflict that'll solve everything, he's just closed himself off, in a very real way. And that's not a healthy thing to do. It's not. You can't let your trust issues run your life, Abbott. You gotta work on that.
Tripitaka almost starts to cry again, but he thinks that the monk might laugh at him, so he swallows it and just heads back to his disciples. So Wukong sees how pissed off Tripitaka is when he comes back, and he asks, did the monks try to hurt him? And Tripitaka just says they didn't, and Baji is like, okay, but why is your voice cracking when you say that?
Oh no.
Tripitaka just says, they said it's not convenient for us to stay here. And Wukong asks, what, are they Taoists or something? And Tripitaka's like, no, they're Buddhists. But he doesn't explain further, and Wukong decides to go in and ask himself what's going on.
The return of Sun Wukong.
Yeah, on his way in, he passes statues of three Buddhas, and he starts shouting at the statues, and he threatens the statues to announce his arrival or he'll smash them.
Very Sun Wukong.
So another groundskeeper hears this, and he runs off frightened to tell the abbot about it. And the abbot is annoyed, and he says he should have all the bloody workers flogged. I already told you people to tell them to squat in the corridors as if all the workers are a hive mind. He told one of them, so they should all clearly have to know.
Sympathy for the abbot gone again. Okay, so we've got Sun Wukong, we've got like a petty Fine Gael-style small business employer, and Tripitaka with his martyr complex. This seems like it's going to explode quite spectacularly.
So the worker tells him that this monk is a different monk. He's mean, scary looking, and he looks like he's fixing for a fight. So the abbot goes to have a look at him, and we get a great description of Wukong, which is a bumpy, scabrous face, a pair of yellow eyeballs, a sunken forehead, a long and sorry, a sunken forehead and long protruding fangs. He seemed virtually an overcooked crab with meat inside and cartilage outside.
That's wonderfully descriptive.
He looks like a rough fucker.
This man will fuck you up.
So the abbot runs back to his room and slams the door shut, but Wukong chases him and smashes through it and shouts, hurry up and clean out 1,000 rooms. Old monkey wants to take a nap.
Feels like that's something you could do in a corner, though.
Yeah,
But
you
again,
don't need
you know,
1,000 rooms for a nap.
yeah, a map. The nap is usually a sedentary thing. I do know I have sleep slept had a sleepwalking problem myself, but you get over that by locking the door
What a
and hiding
no,
the
he can
key.
fly. What if he does like sleep flying? That would be a problem.
Oh, that would be a
He
problem.
just wakes up and he's just like in Spain.
Do you think like if he were to sleep indoors and was sleep flying, like would he just bang into walls or would he
Think he
just
would just
like go
crash
through
through
them?
them. I
Yeah,
don't think he'd
okay.
notice the walls.
I mean, in that case, 1,000 rooms would make sense.
The abbot is shaking in fear, but he still says, it's truly inconvenient for this small, humble monastery of ours to entertain you. Please go somewhere else to stay. And Wukong, in response, he grows the rod larger, stands it upright in the courtyard to show it off, and says, in that case, you move out and we'll stay here.
He is not doing much for the abbot's impression of mendicant monks, is
No.
he? Oh, I mean, fuck respectability politics on one hand. On the other hand, yeah.
Yeah, the abbot's still not getting any good impressions for traveling monks. So the abbot protests that there's 500 monks in this monastery. Where are they all meant to go? Wukong says if they don't leave, then he's going to demand one of them come forward to be caned. So the abbot bravely volunteers the groundskeeper to take the beating, and the two of them start arguing
What?
about it.
No, like, one of the mendicant monks! You hate these people! This might get them to leave! Why the guy who trims the hedges? Come on! Oh.
So Wukong decides to make a show. Oh,
Strike!
sorry.
Just general strike. Don't. Oh. Oh dear.
Wukong decides to make a show of strength by smashing a stone lion statue that's in the courtyard into dust. And after seeing this, the abbot hides under his bed, and the groundskeeper tries to hide inside an oven. Wukong orders the abbot to gather every single monk in the monastery, tell them to get dressed, and receive his master, or else. And the abbot, of course, again tells the groundskeeper to do it, who goes and rings the bell and bangs the drum and gets everyone up and gives them the orders to get dressed and get a welcome procession going. So.
Nobody here is coming off well. Nobody here is their best self.
So Wukong escorts Tripitaka inside, and all 500 monks in the monastery are kowtowing to him. He actually finds this terribly embarrassing, and he tells them to get up, but
Yeah.
they're all too afraid of Wukong to do it.
Yeah.
So Tripitaka tells Wukong not to hit them, and he says, "Well, I haven't. If I had hit them, they'd be dead."
Good point. Not gonna make the monks less afraid. I imagine that's the intention.
It's only after Wukong promises not to murder them all that they dare stand up again, and Tripitaka is led in to meet the abbot again, who this time is all praise and groveling, which Tripitaka continues to find completely embarrassing, but
Yeah.
he asks for a vegetarian meal to eat. One of the random monks of the monastery exclaims that he's shocked such violent men would be vegetarians.
There's a point, I can excuse mass murder, but I draw the line at
eating
animal
meat, yeah.
cruelty. Yeah.
Unless the animals have turned into monster spirits, in which case they will also all be killed.
Yeah, but not
But
eaten.
not eaten. But
Which
yeah.
does seem wasteful.
But yeah, they get a big vegetarian meal, and they're fed and entertained for the evening.
The entertainment must have been so awkward.
I mean, when I say entertained, I just mean in the old-fashioned sense of, entertaining a guest, not necessarily putting on a show and dance.
Still awkward.
Everyone is terrified.
It's a memorable visit.
But when they go to finally tuck in for the evening, Tripitaka looks up at the full moon and composes a poem about the moon and kind of longing to return home. It's kind of this is the same moon they're looking at in China, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wukong takes this as a time to give a lecture on lunar symbolism and the lunar month. There's just a big info dump about the month, basically, here. I don't know if you want. I could just read it if you want, but it's just basically talking about why all the sections of the Chinese month are called what they're called in relation to the moon.
Okay. I'm glad Wukong has an interest outside of murdering people.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you want me to read it all out?
Go for it.
Okay. Master, all you know is that the moonlight fills you with longing for home, but you don't understand that the moon may symbolize the rules and regulations of nature's many modes and forms. When the moon reaches the 13th day, the metal phase in its yang spirit is completely dissolved, whereas the water phase of its yin soul is filled to the brim of the orb. This is the reason for the designation of that day with the term obscure, for the moon is completely dark and without light. It is at this moment also that the moon copulates with the sun, and during the time of the 13th day of the first day of the month, it will become pregnant by the light of the sun. By the third day, one stroke of the yang will appear, and two strokes of the yang will be born by the eighth day. At this time, the moon will be half of its yang spirit in the middle of its yin soul, and its lower half is flat like a rope. That is the reason why the time of the month is called the upper bow. By the 15th day, all three strokes of the yang will be ready and the perfect union will be achieved. That is why this time of the month is called called two-face. On the 16th day, one stroke of yin will be born, and on the second stroke will make its appearance on the 22nd day. At that time, half of the yin soul will be in the middle of the yang spirit, and its upper half is flat like a rope. That is the reason why this time of the month is called the lower bow. By the 13th day, all three strokes of the yin will be ready, and the moon has reached the state of obscurity once more. All this is the symbol of the process of cultivation practiced by nature. If we can nourish the two eights until we reach perfection of the 9 times 9, then it will be simple for us at that moment to see Buddha, and simple also for us to return to our home. The poem says, after the first quarter and before the last, medicine well blended, the outlook's perfect. What you acquire from picking smelts in the stove, determination's fruit is Western heaven.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So, like, a time for everything, going with the flow of nature, and kind of thematically, you know, with Tripitaka bitching about, are we there yet? And it's also kind of nice to see that Wukong paid attention to at least one class in immortality school.
Yeah, he's impulsive and reckless, but he is also, you know, well educated.
Yeah.
When the elder heard what he said, he was immediately enlightened and understood completely these words of realized immortality. Filled with delight, he thanked Wukong repeatedly.
The elder here being?
Tripitaka.
I would not have thought of him as an elder. I still think of him as a kid who's in over his head, to be honest.
Well, he is considered their, like, elder. Yeah. As a monk.
In an authoritative sense.
They are his disciples, despite being much older and more powerful than him.
And haven't seen more shit.
Yeah.
Really.
And are currently giving him lectures.
Which, again, a civil service servant definitely wrote this.
So Xia Wujing chimes in again with another poem. About the moon, which is water and fire mixed, each to the other drawn. Depend on Earth Mother to make this match. Three parties thus fused face no war or strife. Waters in long river, the moon's in the sky. And I don't really know what any of this means, but it says, when the elder heard that, his dull mind was again opened up. Thus it was that truth, grasped by the heart's one hole, clears up a thousand. Once you solve the riddle of no birth, you are a god.
They are really coming for Tripitaka in this chapter, aren't they?
Oh, he's repeatedly described as
of dull mind.
Dull mind and dull eyes, yeah.
because
of his, like, his inability to see. When Wukong can see through all, like, the disguises of monsters, and Tripitaka is always fooled.
This is true. This is true. But again, you know, this guy, at this point, how old is he? Like, 30?
Yeah, I have this written down in a note somewhere. Let me just double check it. Oh, here he is. So Tripitaka is about 31 at the start of the pilgrimage. So
Yeah.
he's in his mid-30s now, because they said they've been on the road for about 4 or 5 years.
So like you know, he's a young guy compared to however many centuries old Wukong at the very least is. So, you know, he even if the guy was in his 90s, he would be seen as, you know, a naive child by these centuries old immortals.
But he's teaching them to, how to be good, devout Buddhists and not murder everyone. He's not
True.
teaching them. It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. There's some symbiosis there.
Zhu Baji then chimes in with another poem. Master, don't listen to all their babblings and delay your sleep. This moon, after it wanes, will soon grow round again. Like me, it was born none too perfectly. At meals, I'm disliked for too large a maw. I drool too much, they say, on bowls I hold. They have their blessings, earned through cleverness. I have affinity, stocked by foolishness. I will tell you that fetching scriptures will end your three karmic paths, wagging head and tail, you'll go up to heaven. It does not say that this poem, unlike the other ones, enlightened Tripitaka, and he just tells them to go to bed.
Yeah, well, at least you put an end to it.
I do like the dry kind of lecturing on the symbology of the moon isn't, I don't know, it is, like I just said, a bit dry, but I do appreciate it that that it ends with this joke of like Sun Wukong says something and it's like, oh, that was so enlightening, and then Xiao Wujing chimes in, it's like, oh yeah, that was great, and Zhu Baji chimes in, it's like, okay, go to bed.
Yeah, okay, we're done here. Beautiful.
That is just the end of the chapter.
Okay. Well, the return of Sun Wukong. That's always
Oh wait, sorry, actually,
interesting to
sorry,
see.
there is one other thing, which is just that he tells them to all go to bed, but he stays up for a little bit, reviewing some old scriptures that he learned when he was a child, that he's just concerned that, might slip from his mind as he hasn't read them in a very long time.
Okay.
And it just chapter just ends with him reviewing in silence.
Cool. While he's studying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a whole bit on remember why you do this here and just
Yeah, he
keeping
does. He start he
faith.
starts off the chapter, kind of lamenting why, how long is this taking? Why am I doing all this? And
Why
he
me? Why
yeah,
me?
and he ends it kind of being, looking at the moon and longing for home, and then being more inspired back to works of faith by Wukong and Wujing,
Yeah, and
kind of g
it is a
giving
very
their
sort
parts.
of it is a very sort of faith-centric thing, isn't it? That the kind of idea that yes, this is happening. It kind of sucks now, but it is happening for a reason, and things will come back along again if you just kind of trust in your like for lack of a better word, your higher power, and the cycles of the seasons and the universe, and you know, you're in the right place right now. Sorry, there's no joke there.
No.
That got stupid deep.
We can be serious sometimes,
We
possibly,
can.
maybe.
Would you like me to swear to sort of break that or? Okay, that was enlightening. And one of the few chapters without murder. Hem, hem, hem.
Cunt.
Thank you. I've been enlightened by your word.
That might bother people, I don't know.
I mean, do we rarely drop, do we drop the C word a lot?
No, I don't think
I feel
so.
like that's one of the few that we're careful of. Because I do get why the Americans are upset by that one, and that's one that does sort of, I get it's higher level punctuation for us, but I know some people see it as a slur. So that's gonna be.
Some it's a slur, for some it's a term of endearment.
Anyway, do we have things to plug? Do we?
Did the mountain molehills to die on come out?
Molehills to Die On is not out yet, but it's coming very soon. So if you want to follow the Rogue Gallery and studios on the platforms that will be mentioned in the show notes, you can keep an eye out for it. And also see some very cool art by emerging Irish artists,
Cool.
which is cool. And our social media details are going to be below, I think, as usual.
Yeah, otherwise that's it.
We will see you
I
later.
haven't done this in a while. I think I want to read the title of the next chapter as a
Oh, sweet.
anticipation, seeing as we didn't end on any kind of a cliffhanger this time.
Okay.
So the chapter 37 is called The Ghost King Visits Tripitaka Tong at Night. Wukong, through wondrous transformation, leads the child.
Ooh, interesting. I
Ghost
am looking
King.
forward to that.
So, next chapter, and listen back for that.
Be great.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.